March 30th, 1989, Spring Revival Service. Speaker, Delosh Miles, Professor of Evangelism.
This is Chapel Service, March 30. This is the last of the rescheduled Spring Revival meetings with Dr. Delosh Miles presiding.
Men shall enter the caves of the rocks and the holes of the ground from before the terror of the Lord and from the glory of his majesty when he rises to terrify the earth. After this, Jesus and his disciples went into the land of Judea. There he remained with them and baptized. John also was baptizing at Enon near Salem, because there was much water there. And people came and were baptized, for John had not yet been put in prison. Now discussion arose between John's disciples and a Jew over purifying. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, here he is baptizing, and all are going to him. John answered, No one can receive anything except what is given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, the friend of the bridegroom, who stands and hears him, rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore this joy of mine is now full. He must increase, but I must decrease. Let us go to God in prayer. O Lord Most High, you who always see those who are lowly and contrite in heart, grant us wisdom and strength this day to be like your servant John the Baptist, a bright and shining light, pointing persons to Jesus Christ, to the end that Jesus will increase and we shall decrease. Forgive us for lusting after the ring of power. Help us to be content with what you have given to us. May our worship in this hour lift up Jesus Christ as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. For his honor and glory we pray. Amen. Thank you. The supremacy of Jesus Christ over everybody else, over everything, over every created being, is one point which both the book of Hebrews and the Gospel of John have in common. In fact, in the Gospel of John, the superiority of Jesus over John the Baptist is a big point. Beginning in this gospel, in chapter 1, verse 8, the scripture says of John the Baptist, "He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light." Later on in that same chapter, in verse 15, John the Baptist bears witness that Jesus ranks before him, "For he was before me," says he. On down a little farther, in verse 20, John the Baptist emphatically confesses that he is not the Christ. And still in that same chapter, in verse 27, he says, "I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals." And this whole put-down of John the Baptist over Jesus reaches its climax in John 3, verse 30, where John the Baptist himself says of Jesus, "He must increase, but I must decrease." So pointedly and frequently does this fourth gospel put down John the Baptist and lift up Jesus that one commentator has written, "John the Baptist played the best second fiddle in the history of the church." What is going on here in the scripture? Why is John the Baptist put down so often and Jesus lifted up so frequently in these early chapters of John's gospel? Possibly there was a cult which rose up around John the Baptist in the early church. Not only do these scriptures point in that direction, but Acts 19, the encounter with the disciples of John the Baptist, which the Apostle Paul had at Ephesus, and their rebaptism point in that direction also. Perhaps there were those in the early church, a kind of cult off here in the church, who wanted to acclaim John the Baptist as the Messiah, who wanted people to call John Lord and Master. Certainly in our scripture lesson from John 3, we see the disciples of John the Baptist disturbed over the fact that Jesus was baptizing more disciples than was John. And in verse 26, they say, "Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you bore witness, here he is baptizing, and all are going to him." Apparently, not only had the Pharisees received word that Jesus was baptizing more disciples than John the Baptist, but the disciples of John the Baptist had heard this news, and they weren't pleased with it at all. On the surface, there seems to be a rivalry in the first century between two very popular Jewish rabbis, Rabbi Jesus of Nazareth and Rabbi John the Baptist. Is the scripture pointing us to jealousy between Jesus and John the Baptist? Or perhaps more accurately, is the scripture here pointing us to some rivalry between some disciples of John the Baptist and some disciples of Jesus? John the Baptist answers his troubled disciples in four different ways, if you will look more closely at our scripture lesson in John 3. First of all, in verse 27, he answers, "No one can receive anything except what is given him from heaven." So he rebukes his troubled disciples by calling to their minds that no one can receive anything except God himself provides it for that individual. And this is very much akin to a word from the Apostle Paul to those prima donnas in the church at Corinth when he said, "What have you that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if it were not a gift?" If Jesus is receiving and baptizing more disciples than John the Baptist, then that is not because he is stealing them. It is a gift from God. That's his first answer to his jealous disciples. And then secondly, in verse 28, he reminds his disciples that he had never claimed to be anything but a forerunner to Jesus. Nothing in the world but a voice crying in the wilderness, "Make straight the way of the Lord." And then thirdly, in verse 29, he answers his troubled disciples by calling himself the friend of the bridegroom. He says, "My role is that to be the best man. My role is to make the arrangements for the wedding and to see to it that everything goes well, to protect the bride's chamber and to let the groom in when he comes, when his voice is recognized. And I am full of joy because of that. I'm not full of sorrow because Jesus is receiving more disciples than I am. My joy is filled because my role is to be only the friend to the groom." What best man in his right mind would ever do anything to violate the interests of the groom? And then fourthly, John the Baptist answers his jealous disciples with this word in John 3:30, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Paley translates John 3:30, "It is for him to go on growing and for me to ever be getting less." And Paley goes on to suggest that the language seems to be solar language. And so the reference may well be to Jesus coming on the scene at the winter solstice, when the days gradually, day after day, week after week, continue to get longer and longer until the summer solstice. Whereas John the Baptist represents the summer solstice, and the days begin to get shorter and shorter. He grows less and less significant, less and less in his length and stature and shadow. And that may well be the situation here. But what's really going on here in this text from John 3? Like so much of the fourth gospel, there is a second level operating here. We've considered only the surface level, only the historical level, but there is a spiritual level or a theological level that seems to be taking place here also. What's really going on in this text? Do you remember Jonestown, 1978? Do you recall Jim Jones and the People's Temple? 912 bodies were found following the Jonestown massacre, caused from gunshot wounds and poison Kool-Aid when they counted all the bodies. One United States congressman and his aide lay dead. Ross Case, who was an associate to Jim Jones, way back in the beginnings of the People's Temple, says that in those early years, the People's Temple and Jim Jones' work were nothing in the world but a mirror of the New Testament church. Apparently, it was perfectly legitimate, but something happened along the way. And in 1965, Ross Case, the associate to Jim Jones, resigned and pursued other work, and he wrote a letter to a clergy friend of his in which he said, "I want to make it clear that I am not a follower of James Jones, but of Jesus Christ. Love for and trust in Jesus appears to be fading, while love for and trust in James Jones is growing. Friends whom I had known as Christians are not concerned with the question, 'What think ye of Christ?' but rather with the question, 'What think ye of James Jones?' Jesus is no longer the issue to them. James is," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, the antidote for confusing ourselves with God and with God's Son may be found right here in the scripture lesson from John 3. As a matter of fact, John the Baptist himself points in the right direction. His very example, there is no evidence in Scripture that he ever lifted himself up above Jesus Christ, that he ever encouraged a cult to grow up around him. Jesus himself said of John the Baptist, "Of those born of women, none is greater." But he was willing to subjugate himself, to subordinate himself to Jesus. And he never forgot that he was not Jesus, that he was not the Messiah, but he was only the friend of the Messiah, only the forerunner, only the one who prepared the way. And yet, the solution to this problem of jealousy and rivalry among the people of God may be seen ultimately in its final solution in the example of Jesus himself. Fortunately for us, there is a kind of footnote that the editor adds in this fourth gospel in chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3, to the baptizing of Jesus, and he points out that Jesus never baptized anybody in H2O, only in HS, the Holy Spirit. So they were partly wrong. Jesus never baptized anybody. But also the scripture says that Jesus left Judea and departed again to Galilee. Jesus would not stay on the scene. The loving, suffering servant of the Lord would go to another place and conduct his ministry. And isn't this the example of our Lord all the way through Scripture, and especially in Paul's word to the Philippians in the great kenosis passage, the self-emptying passage, the mind of Christ passage in Philippians 2, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not a thing to be grasped after to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, emptied himself, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in form as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the cross death, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him." So the way to increase in God's upside down kingdom is to decrease. The steps to increase in God's kingdom, in God's economy, are self-emptying, servanthood, sacrificial suffering. And then comes the exaltation. Dr. Gaines S. Dobbins, when he was well up into his 90s, after having taught many thousands of seminarians, was asked by one of his former students one day as he sat in his wheelchair, "How are you doing, Dr. Dobbins?" Dr. Dobbins made a strange reply. He said to his former student, "It's always 3:30 in my life." And the student, puzzled, said, "What do you mean it's always 3:30 in your life?" Dr. Dobbins replied, "John 3:30. He must increase, but I must decrease." What about you? Is it always 3:30 in your life? It can be. It ought to be. Lord, pour out your Spirit upon us. Send us from this place, endued with power, to fall in the footsteps of Jesus. For it is in his name and for his sake that we pray. Amen.